Good morning. It is good to connect with you today on this Sunday morning. Today, here at the first Sunday of September, on this Labor Day weekend, we begin a new sermon series, taking a look at some of the expectations that we place on God. Now, some of us may be thinking, that's not something that I do, or can see that it's not necessarily a good thing to do that. But even if we don't consciously, put expectations on God, there are some of these expectations that even come out of our culture. And all of these expectations impact our faith, impact our relationship with God and with Christ. So throughout the month of September, we'll be taking a look at these expectations and recognizing them, but also working through them and understanding how God is at work in our lives and how our God is with us. Our scripture this week is from the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. It's often called the faith chapter, as it recalls people from the history of the Jewish people in the Old Testament. A lot of familiar names you may hear as I read this. It is a longer reading. It's a whole chapter of Hebrews 11 that I'll be reading this morning. So it will take a bit, but what I would invite, though, as I'm reading this passage of scripture, that you just notice the faith and also the circumstances that all these folks who are mentioned lived through and worked through. So I invite you to hear these words from the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verses 1 through 40, which is the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. So hear these words. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is accordance with faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was set out to receive an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who he had promised. Therefore, from one person and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sands by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking in a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, who then put to test, offered up Isaac. He had received the promises and was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you." He considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. By Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea, as it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail to tell me of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, attained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. Two were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and in holes in the ground. Yet all of these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I take a look at this passage of Scripture, I see a great amount of faith. And certainly there's a reason why this passage is called, the faith chapter. The writer here is speaking to the faith of people that the Hebrew people, that the Jewish people would have known. They would have known these stories, would have been aware of them. And for us, some of these stories are very familiar, maybe very familiar with the story of Abraham, the story of Isaac, of Moses. Some not so much, like the story of Enoch, or maybe that of Samson. Some of these stories, speak to faith that was given, that was, a faith that brought about great blessing. But there's also, in this faith chapter, as a demonstration of faith, there are many things that would be considered not so good, many things that we would call suffering, that came upon the people that were mentioned, even though they are being, exalted, lifted up for their faith. Now for us, if I go back to what I shared at the beginning, speaking that we'd be looking at expectations, our expectations that we can place on God, that we may consciously or unconsciously place on God, that affect our faith. One of those things we place on God that we may not be aware of, or we are aware of, is the expectation that as followers of God, followers of Christ, we would not suffer in this world, that we would not experience pain and suffering. And this can be jarring for us, because we feel that we give ourselves to God, we do so much for God, we pray to God, we give, we share, we serve our neighbors, we serve our communities, all in the name of God, And it seems like we cannot escape suffering. And suffering is difficult to talk about, especially when we want to kind of to be gone. We don't want it in our lives because suffering is real. It's a part of our human experience. It affects us personally. It affects our hearts. It affects our lives. It affects those who we care about, whom we love, who are close to us. Suffering is indeed difficult to talk about. And it's something that, as a people of faith, we wish would go away. But here's the thing. We're never promised that suffering would go away when we follow God, when we follow Christ. That promise was never given to us. And it can be hard for us to realize that, especially when we are suffering, especially when we are struggling. But I believe it's important for us to remember, though, especially when we look at this passage of Scripture where we have people who experience great blessing, and we have a chapter here where people experience great suffering. It's important to remember that in both these circumstances, God was with them. And this is important for us to remember as we're sorting through our expectations, especially on the one that we expect to not have suffering, is that God promises to be with us when we struggle. That when we face hardship, when we face pain, when we face difficulty, we are indeed promised that presence of God. Even when times are going well, when we feels like we're experiencing all kinds of blessing and joy in our life, we are even then promised that God is with us. Now, you may be thinking, well, if God is with us, you know, whether we're experiencing blessing or whether we're experiencing suffering, you know, why does it matter that we stay connected? Why does it matter that we have our faith in God? If I'm going to experience God's presence either way, why does this matter? I believe it matters. It matters for me, knowing that whether I am going through a great time in my life or a difficult time, God is the same. God is with us and reaches out to us and connects to us in a great, amazing, abundant love and grace that I cannot fathom. It's important for me, I believe myself, to know that when I am suffering, when I'm experiencing those days I rather forget, those moments that are painful, or when I see, you know, someone else going through that, I know that our God who delivered the people out of Israel, the God who led the exiles out of Babylon, the God who led, you know, so many to hope and to life, and the same God who was with Christ when he died on the cross and resurrected Christ, is the same God that is with me in my suffering, in my struggle, in my hardship, and in my pain. This is also important for us to remember, I believe, this is what I'm going to share here, is that Christ, who is seen, you know, as people of faith, as followers of Christ, as Christians, you know, we see Christ both as fully human and fully divine. We see this. And yet, our God, Jesus Christ, when he was suffering, when he was in pain, he experienced the same, you know, pain and hardship that we can experience in our life. By being fully human, he saw what pain was. He saw the hardship, saw the difficulty. And as he suffered pain on the cross, dying for us, he knew intimately what pain and death felt like. What being totally broken, experiencing hardship, the impact that it can have on our lives. But yet Christ experienced resurrection. Christ showed us through his resurrection that there is everlasting life, and that the pain and the difficulty and the suffering that we experience does not define who we are. It is our God who is calling us forward into this life. It is the Holy Spirit who is shaping us in this life so we can experience that everlasting life, experience that abundant life now. That even though we face suffering, we have that joy knowing that our God is with us, and the sufferings of our present do not compare to what is to come for us, the future and the hope that is in store for us from our God. Yes, suffering is real. It's personal. It affects us deeply. And I share this not to minimize suffering, not to minimize pain, but rather to offer and to share with you that our God is with you. Our God surrounds you. And our God recognizes and knows the pain and the struggles that we experience. And we are not forsaken. We are not abandoned. For our God who shares blessings and joy with us is the same God who is with us when we struggle. I believe because of the life of Christ, our God has great compassion and care for us. Because of Christ experiencing life in the flesh, experiencing, you know, those who are suffering, those who are struggling and experiencing suffering and pain himself, our God has great compassion and care for us when we struggle, when it feels like things are not going to get better. Our God is with us. Our God hears us. Our God sees us. This is something I believe. This is something that for me, when I am down and discouraged, I remember how my God is with me. And I believe as my God is with me, our God is with you and is surrounding you and going with you, whatever you may be facing. Brothers and sisters, as we go through our lives, we will face moments of hardship, of suffering, of trial. But we do not go through these things alone. We do not endure the suffering alone. For our God is with us. Our God cares for us and calls us into a future and an everlasting life that is greater than the sufferings and the hardship of our present time. The future that God has for us is greater than we can imagine. And more importantly, the love that our God has for us is greater than we can fathom or imagine in our lives. Amen.